It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today, we are talking the conversations of things we should start and things we should stop. And I think if we take the visual aesthetics for you visual learners out there, not me, of course. You know, you have, I kind of look at the traffic light being, you know, green meaning go and red meaning stop. And I think we all have these things in our life that maybe if we take a, you know, a 30, 40,000 foot view of and really evaluate ourselves, what are some things maybe we should stop doing and maybe we should start doing? Jeff?
All right, let's try and do this in a logical way, a linear way. That's hard for me. Let's go into the superficial. How about, what are some things?
He says, let's do it logically, and then let's go into the superficial.
Well, the reason I say that is because most of us, that's our default. We're shallow people. We just are. And so before we go introspective, let's just kind of go selfish mode. What are some things that Tyler wants to do in the short term? Like right now, what's some goals you have? Things you want to start, things you want to quit? What are in the way of some of the things, the goals you want to accomplish personally? You know, if you were to subscribe to the mindset that we've all been indoctrinated with you can be anything you want to be. You can accomplish anything if you set your mind to it. What's your thing?
All right. On the superficial level, I would say I've always been pretty big into exercising. Back when I was younger, in my early 20s, I was very into like weightlifting, that whole aspect. And then as I got a little older, I stopped lifting for a while and I got up to 280 pounds. And I thought, you know what, I'm not going to...
That's a chunky monkey
for
you. Yeah,
oh man, I was. That's the truth. Well, because when I was into weightlifting and whatnot and using all the supplements and...
280?
Some of them legal, some of them illegal. I would eat like a horse.
Because you were taking some horse stuff.
When you're constantly hungry, man. So, I mean, you're eating anything you can basically get your hands on. And after I had stopped lifting, it turns out that habit doesn't just naturally go away with the stopping of lifting.
Of the eating, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Eating the same way of just like absorbance. I guess you'd have to call it gluttony, right?
Yeah.
You know, I told myself, I'm not going to hit 300 pounds before I turn 30 years old. That just doesn't sound like a successful way of living. So, you know, I got into this whole biking regimen routine, and I really like it. I get a good sweat going, and when
Wait. Okay, biking?
Yeah.
Do you mean like on a bike?
Or stationary.
Okay.
Stationary biking.
I'm just wanting everybody out there in podcast land to get a picture here, okay?
Safety first, right? Actually, funny though, back in the day when I was a kid, I did used to ride a bike around our small town.
Oh my gosh.
I know. But, so I got into this biking regimen. And I really liked it. It always gave me a good sweat. And when I first started it, you know, I was doing like 20 miles a day. I would go a half hour to 35 minutes in the morning, and I'd do 35 minutes at night. And I shed a bunch of weight. I got down to around 215 pounds.
What are you now?
That's where I'm going with this. Well, the one thing I want to stop is I started then biking about 10 miles a day once I got to that, and I was pretty happy and satisfied with it. And here over the past like 3 months or so, I've put on about 10 pounds to 15 pounds.
But you look great.
Yeah, but I've been eating a little extra. I've been diving into the sweets, and I can just, you know, I can kind of, my pants are a little more snug. And some people say the closet it'll do that to your clothing, kind of shrinks it up every now and then. But I guess I know better, and that's for me. I guess that's something I would want to stop. Is I need to start, you know, eating a little bit less and maybe biking a little bit more. Get back to that 215 weight.
So what are you? You didn't say what you are.
Oh, about 228 to 230.
That's about what I am. Okay. Yeah. But I got some pudge on me. I don't see the pudge on you. You still look pretty thin. I mean, you don't have like that 3% body fat look. Is that what you're talking about? You want that?
No, just a little more trim.
I think you look healthy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, how about 10 pounds?
Me, I look like an old man.
Well, you know, actually, there was a lady at church yesterday. She goes, oh, you look different. And I go, what's wrong? Am I growing out or what? She goes, no, you got some more hair on your face.
Yeah, it's your beard. It's your beard. the beard does suit you. I don't know, man. It's you almost got that Abraham Lincoln look. You know?
I haven't been able to grow one like my whole life.
Really?
Yeah, not really. It's just kind of
not
patchy.
Your whole life. You got it now.
Yeah. Well, I guess nobody could grow one their whole life. Right? Well,
if you could, there's problems.
But good Abraham Lincoln. They called him Honest Abe,
I'm
right?
I'm telling you, man. You got that look. Right. So, yeah.
I can settle for that.
That's what you want to start? Or is that stop, you said?
No, that's what I want to, I guess, start and stop. I want to stop eating maybe the sweets and the junk food a little bit, and maybe get a little more biking in to get back, trim off that extra 10 pounds I just put on.
I find, I don't know how to describe this. I'm always in a place, and it seems like the older I get, the more I kind of want to go back to it, where I want to be comfortable.
Okay. You know, yeah, and so
it's like everything you're doing is trying to create this place where you don't, everything's kind of automated and you can just kind of sit back and coast.
Go through the motions.
Kind of, you know, so that your mind's able to rest. And what's funny about that though, if you know me, I'm a workaholic and I never rest. So it's like I'm trying to build something that I won't be happy with.
But it feels good in the moment.
Well, it keeps me busy. But I see what I'm trying to accomplish is this personal utopia, you know?
Mm-hmm. Also, there's no way your mind's ever going to rest till you're dead.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm stuck. But I want it not just for me. I want it for my family. And so I need to stop. I just need to just go ahead and say, you know what? What I'm chasing doesn't exist on this side of heaven.
It's not realistic.
It's not, but it's easy for me to say that right now, but it's hard for me not to lean into.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so whether you're talking food, by the way, I do have a food problem too. I love food. More than the taste, I love how you feel when you're full. There's like a nostalgia, happy, I don't know how else to describe it, feeling that comes over you. And there's something about, like, I've just eaten an hour ago, but I'm not full anymore. And so I'll go eat some more food real quick just to top back off again.
Now see, sometimes with me, something will taste so good to me while I'm eating it that I'll eat beyond full to where, like, when I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, man, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, why did I do? But even with that, there's in that misery of, like, oh, my belly's so full.
But it was
there's,
so good.
But there's a happiness in there somewhere. And what is that, man? Besides sinful.
Yeah. Sinful pleasure, I guess?
I guess. But mm-hmm. No, with my back to my utopia. You know, I think to some degree, you know, I guess we all do this in our own personal ways, but I'm chasing a phantom of happiness that doesn't exist. And I've got to just let that be gone. You know what I mean? Let it go. It gets in the way of other things. And so you sit there and contemplate, okay, trying to find an example for you. The garden is a great one. I've got a garden out back and it's not much of a garden. If anyone's a real gardener, they go, that's a garden, you know? Anyway, you know, when is gardening ever done? When is it ever like perfect? You've always got weeds popping up. You've always got bugs you got to deal with. You're constantly tending to it all the time,
mm-hmm.
You know, trying to get it into that perfect place, which it will never be. And the moment you have it perfect, something's going to go wrong. Disease or whatever, something's going to happen. And it's like the same thing happens in our life in all different aspects, be it from you just put on a new roof. Well, guess what? In 20 years, you need another one. Unless you're in Ohio, then maybe 10 years because of the wind. It's just, you're always in a place. The more you have, the more you have to maintain. Does that make sense?
It sure does. So it's almost like a seeking of perfection always leads to being dissatisfied.
Yes, yes. And so instead of just being content with what I have and where things are,
you want to make them better.
And so I can't rest.
Or what you perceive to be better.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't rest. And so I'm just, it's like Melanie said to me last night, I wanted to clean the garage up. You know, I've been running all day long. It was Sunday. And she goes, just sit on the couch and relax. And that was so hard for me to do. It was so hard because I love to work.
Or at least be doing something.
Doing something. Yeah. So I feel like I'm making
productive
progress. But it was so beneficial for me to sit down with her and just connect and talk.
Recharge.
Yeah. And I didn't even know I needed to. I don't know if that makes any sense. But
isn't that what wives are for?
Oh, she's a lifesaver, man.
Yeah. The crown?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I've got to start having realistic expectations, and I've got to stop chasing perfection.
I think I can kind of relate to that, I suppose, in a spiritual level of having that complete trust and knowing that you're going to always have what you need. Maybe that fully letting go of what we, like you just said, what we want, or even not always being able to see the full picture of what God wants for us is going to be, but knowing that He's going to get us there. I think for me, that's probably something I could definitely use some work on.
So this is you backing up a little bit and getting a bigger view of things. Yeah, to me, I think there was a book I read. I forget the title. It might have been called this, The Long Obedience. And I think a lot of times we love to pat ourselves on the back because in a moment we got it right. Mm-hmm. What we've got to understand is it's not just a moment, though. We've got to get it right. It's consistently getting it right.
Sure.
Right.
And developing those good and healthy patterns.
Discipline. Yeah.
And wouldn't you say we oftentimes to confuse obedience to God with obedience to man?
Oh boy. All the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get confused on our masters.
And it's almost like we're even brought up that way, and like we're trained that way throughout our entire lives in school, and you go on and, you know, get your degree, and the entirety of be obedient to this and you'll be successful.
Yeah, it's almost like they're made synonymous. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't quite work that way.
No, I think if you look at both demands of obedience, the paths are oftentimes, I'm not saying they don't intersect at times, but they're oftentimes pretty different.
I have got to start practicing what I already know is that, first of all, control's an illusion. And I want control so bad. And also, looking back on things, I'm glad I'm not in control because I'm not worthy of control.
Who is?
Right. So,
but well, when we have that control, or like what we perceive to be control that we desire, isn't it always to, in essence, benefit ourselves
right,
in the outcome?
Yeah, always. You are a human and you will bend it somehow, in some way, back to yourself. You will misuse control if you had it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's the heart. That, you know what, by the way, folks, that's in the church. The reason why you have multiple elders is to make sure we don't do that. When we make decisions, that we are yielding to the Holy Spirit and his leadership and guidance and not to our own personal I wants. And it's dangerous whenever you've only got one person in control.
I think at one time our government was actually set up with those similar elements.
Yeah, something, yeah,
different
something like
branches
that.
Branches,
yeah.
You know, balance, checks and balances. Yeah. And then, I don't know, it's almost like now.
The dictatorship.
They're all ran in the same way or something. I don't know.
Yeah, one of them controls them all through executive something. Anyway, moving on. But the control, I need to stop trying to be in control. I need to start remembering who is in control. And I'm talking all aspects of life, because when you do this correctly, you know what you stop doing? Worrying. Mm. And I would argue worry really is a sin, because worry means you assume there's something you can control that you can't.
How's that go about tomorrow has its own troubles? Yeah. Just focus on today.
Hey, God, you said it earlier. God's going to give you what you need. Part of our prayer should be, give us our daily bread. In other words, give us our daily our supplies that we need for today. And he promises he will. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we often fail to even ask and look to him and depend on him. We depend on ourselves. It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
I've seen a lot of people let themselves down, myself included, but have you seen anyone be let down by the Holy Spirit?
No.
Now, once again, I've seen also people, lots of people have been let down by bad religious experience.
Yes, or unrealistic expectation where they said, God's going to give me all I want.
Yeah, but then then if God's given you all that you want, is he the master? Or
right. Right.
He will give you all you need, though.
Yes, he will. Mm-hmm. That's his promise. And he's not saying that you'll live necessarily, as we say, high on the hog, but you will have your needs met.
I mean, what is high on the hog though, really? Like you just said, the more you have, the more you have to maintain. Mm-hmm. I think each of us are in a way given what we're able to maintain.
Well, you know, for example, I look at other people who are in a much better off place financially than I am.
Yeah, but
my assumption
is you gave yours up.
Well, yeah, but I still look at it this way, that, you know, maybe I couldn't handle it. Maybe I would misappropriate that money too. But yes, I did. I was afraid it'd be an idol for me.
Mm.
And I still, I have what I need. My needs are taken care of. Do I have wants? Absolutely. But not to the point where it's inhibiting my happiness. I mean, like, for example, we have two cars. We need three. Need's a funny word.
We'd really like three.
We really would like to have three, yeah, because there's three people needing to drive somewhere. And so we're always playing shuffleboard with cars. And sometimes it gets, you know, a little tense because someone's got a deadline they can't meet because somebody else has the car, right? Mm-hmm. But in true sense, we have everything we need. We could get by probably with one car if we had to. There'd be some adjustments, but, and that's just it, is that my life is probably in a constant place of adjustment, but I don't see that as a bad thing.
Well, because if you're constantly adjusting as a result, you're probably constantly evaluating, right?
Yeah, and not being selfish.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
That's something we could all use a little bit more. Absolutely.
So anyway, no, I think this is a great question for us all to ask. You know, sure, be superficial, be shallow, ask, because it's there anyway. So go ahead and ask, and then move bigger and look at the big picture of your life. And what are some things that you need to start and stop? Because we've all got some improvements to make, not for our benefit, but truly for the glory of God and for the help of others.
And I think if you really start with those, you know, what you term the more shallow benefits, you start making those small improvements, they're going to grow to be larger improvements, and you're going to work around yourself from little to big, and you're going to make the changes in the onset that seems small and insignificant, and then you're going to look back and see that you've also made changes that are making quite a difference for, not that they are necessarily for your benefit, but you're going to see your benefit out of what you've done.
Well, there's something to be said for being honest about what you want, just so you know what your struggle is, because we all know what the ideal is. I mean, for example, you know what love is. I mean, we have a concept of it. We can see what God did for us. Mm-hmm. I don't think that most of us live in that kind of love, though, sacrificial love for others. If you're honest about your I wants, you at least know what's in the way of you loving others the way God's commanded.
Because you're putting those things before
you're naming
that
them.
Love.
You're naming them. Mm-hmm. And so you can at least find the day, the courage, the will, the discipline to be able to finally one day step in and lean into that kind of love.
And it's a journey.
It is.
But you can definitely get there. Many have, and many more will. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.